have to be revelation of knowledge and the knowledge of your Son. Thank you for clarity of thought, precision, and accuracy in teaching. All eyes here will be settled, stable, and established firmly in the knowledge of your Son Jesus. And all our eyes will behold Him as He sees us in Him. Amen. Alright now, this service, we're going to be looking at our fellowship with one another. The last Sunday I was around, we looked at our fellowship and our relationship with God. I believe that was clear. And so today we want to look at our fellowship with one another. Now, go again to 1 John 1. 1 John 1, praise God. 1 John 1. Remember that was our text, right? Was that our text? Or relationship and fellowship, that was our text. Okay. 1 John 1. I'm going to read verse 2. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested with us, unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also, sorry, you also, very good, see, may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Not two persons. Our fellowship with the Father is our fellowship with the Son. That's what it means. So we have fellowship with the Father. The word fellowship is the word koinonios. We said that koinonia, sorry. Where you have the word koinonios, which is something that is common or made available. So when you say fellowship, if you give fellowship to me, it will mean what was yours became mine. That's fellowship. In other words, we share. That's why some versions will say we share. So, our fellowship is with the Father. That is, the Father is common to all of us. The Father is common to all of us. When you receive the gospel, one of the things we can call the gospel is forgiveness of sins, alright? Luke 24:47 is forgiveness of sins. Matthew 26:28, the gospel is forgiveness of sins. And then in that forgiveness of sins, the gospel is the fellowship of the Father. We said that. And so, the fellowship of the Father tells us the kind of relationship we have with Him. He has given fellowship to us. Okay? And we said that fellowship is a function of faith in the gospel. John 1:12. I just want to summarize that. John 1:12, as many as received Him, to them gave He the power, the word there is exousia, to be called the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So, the Father gives us fellowship. Don't forget that. And so we have other, He gives us fellowship in His Son. So, whatever God is going to share with us, will be found where? In His Son. Don't forget, it's His Son that is given to us. That's His fellowship. Romans 8:32. He who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us, that is, He made Him to die for us, shall He not with Him freely, what? Give us of all things. So, our fellowship with the Father is found where? In the Son. That's important. Now let's look at it again closely. The gospel, when we share the gospel, we are sharing or we are giving the fellowship of the Father. That's why it's really not correct, not that really not correct, it's not correct at all to ask people to give their life to Christ. In fact, that phrase on its own is why many people don't understand salvation. Because at salvation, only one person is given. What you do is to receive. God is the one making available His Son in fellowship. We were called dead in trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2:1-2. So, a dead man doesn't give his death. A dead man receives life. So it is Jesus who gave His life. You receive. See, and that mentality affects people before God acts something from them. Come home, come home, prodigal son, come. Were you ever a son? Come home, come home. So you think you are coming to God, but in truth, it's God who came to you. 2 Corinthians 5:18. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, to wit, God was in Christ, going after man, reconciling himself to man, to the world, with the world, not counting their sins. Hallelujah. That's how God is. Not counting their sins. Many people think that God hates sin so much that he hates you. Why would he hate you so much and die for you? No. Sometimes we just need to get our acts right together. So, let's look at what that fellowship is. And so we corrected that to think that you can break fellowship. People believe that when you commit a sin, you break fellowship. No. The fellowship itself is for sin. Look at that 1 John 1. And listen carefully now. It's not, the fellowship is not to sin. Don't get it wrong. Make sure you put my pronouns and my verbs the right place. You know, say, Pastor said that the fellowship is so that we can sin. No. The fellowship is for sin. Look at 1 John. You are there? Follow this now. Listen very well. I want to re-explain it again. I know I've explained this before. But Martin Luther said, not Martin Luther King, Martin Luther, he said, every week I teach justification by faith because every week people forget it. Hallelujah. That's why Paul quickly wrote to Galatia because they were soon removed. By the time you go on some Facebook posts, you'll be shaking. You go on the internet, you read some things in the newspapers, you hear some things on Christian television, you'll be shaking. But then somebody dies and wakes up from the dead, you begin to shake that. Where did he go? He said he saw some people that you know. You're so soon removed. Now watch this now. Last verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Follow this one. Verse 3. And this is right we unto you, so that you will be warned about losing your salvation. Talk to me now. So that your joy may be full. So if you read anything in 1 John that makes you scared, what did we say in the morning now? The God of this world has poured black smoke on your minds. He wrote this book so that your joy may be full. Now it's F-U-L-L, not F-O-O-L. That's important. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is what? Light. And in him is no darkness at all. Don't leave it out of context. So let's read what the light is. God is light. So put your hands here and go to 1 John. There are two things he called God. 1 John 4:8. For God is love. So come back again. We'll see the relevance shortly. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. Verse 6. So if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Pay attention now. Now look at verse 7. But if we walk where? In the light, as he is where? In the light. We have fellowship one with another, that is, we have fellowship with him, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. So what is in that fellowship for us? The blood of his son, which cleanses us from what? All sins. Pay attention. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Look at 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, how did he cleanse us from all unrighteousness? By his blood. Don't forget that. Don't lift it out of context. In other words, if we say that he is faithful and just to forgive sins, and how does he do it? By cleansing us from what? All unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. So, before we get there, so what is in his fellowship? The blood of Jesus. Come on. And what does the blood of Jesus do? It cleanses us from all sins. Don't leave that out of context. The next verse, chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, this is right I unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, let him confess it. Is that what he says? No. We have what? An advocate with the Father. Now, the advocate with the Father, is it our fellowship with the Father? Huh? Come on. Is that the fellowship? Jesus Christ the righteous. Come on, look at 2. And he is the propitiation for our sins, not for us only, but also for the whole world. So what is available in this fellowship? Forgiveness of sins and propitiation of sins. Come on, let me see if you understand this one. Now look at verse 12. Let's take it together. 1 John 2:12. Can we go? I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Past tense, future tense? Past tense, present continuous. So your sins are forgiven. Why? Because you confess? No. Our confession is what he has done. His blood cleanses us from all sins. Now don't forget, I told you to pay attention to 1 John 1:5. God is light. So what is the light of God? The blood of his son cleanses us from all sins. If you don't see that, you walk in darkness. The light of God, we see him in what he gave through his son. God is light. Now go to 1 John 4:8. The same writer. Follow this now. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is what? Come on now. For God is what? And God is light. Is his light his love? Come on. Is his light his love? Come on. Is his light his love? Look at the next verse. In this was manifested the love of God towards us. Let's take it together. Because that God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. Let's take verse 10 together. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be propitiation for our sins. Is 1 John 1:5 to 9 similar to this? Same thing. So is his love his light? Come on, God, come on. Talk to me, guys. Is his love his light? Is his light his fellowship? So his love is the fellowship, and that is his light. If you don't see him in his love, you don't know him. That's why he says in chapter 2, verse 8, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him, in you, and in you, because the darkness is what? The darkness is past. Glory to God. I said the darkness is past. The darkness is past. And the true light now shineth. He that seeth is in the light, and hateth his brother. Is in darkness even until now. Why? Because the light is his love. So what God did for sins, which is the forgiveness of sins, the propitiation in His Son, He is His fellowship, and that is His light. So you can't break the fellowship of what He gave you. You may refuse to receive it if you are an unbeliever. But you see, sin, can we say that sin cannot break the fellowship? Can that be correct? Is that correct? Can sin break the fellowship? Why? Because the fellowship is forgiveness of sins. Let me see if you understand that. Come on. Is that very clear? Let me repeat myself. Can sin break the fellowship? Can sin hinder the fellowship? No. Because what is the fellowship? The forgiveness of sins. So, that fellowship, pay attention now, means that God gave us His Son. How did He give us His Son? In the sacrifice of Jesus. Romans 5:8. For God commended His love towards us while we were yet sinners. What happened? Christ died for us. So can we say His love is His light? Huh? Now, is His love an emotion or an action through His Son Jesus? How do you know God loves you? In the sacrifice of Jesus. How do you know God loves you? Because He made Him a propitiation for our sins. So what is God's contribution in this relationship? Huh? Be specific. His Son. The blood of His Son. Is that right? Is that right? Very good. So, we have fellowship with the Father because He gave us His Son. We sang that song. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son. The giving of His Son is our fellowship with Him. Is that right? Can we undo that? Talk to me now. Can you undo that? No. Because it's His own work, not yours. You can only refuse it. But you can't undo it. Amen? Can you earn that fellowship? Talk to me, guys. Can you earn that fellowship? You can only receive it. Good. So, God contributed His Son. And so, we say, now are we, 1 John 3:2, the sons of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. A whole lot of people, they have a problem with this. They assume that forgiveness of sins has to be somewhere in the past. Well, you need to be around so great salvation. There was something I shared with a fellow a couple of days back, and he is one of those people that talk about there's grace for salvation, grace for transformation. So I asked him a question. And I asked him a question. I asked some ministers yesterday in a ministers' conference outside Lagos where I preached. I said, but was the grace of God available in the Old Testament? He said, yes. So you agree with that? Was righteousness available? He said, yes, Abraham. I said, did they have all of God's promises? He said, no. What were they waiting for? He said, the promise of the Spirit. Excellent. Then I asked them a question. Were they righteous? He said, yes. Were their character and behavior, was it changed? He said, in a way, yes. Without the Spirit? No. Not that it was changed, but it was about to change. How can they change without the Spirit? I'll get back to you on it. You have to. I'll answer that in the week. Praise the Lord. Why are you looking at me like? I gave you something to think about. When you understand the grace of God in Christ, you will only cry. There's no human being that can match it. The reason why we fight is because our little brains can't comprehend it. Paul wrote to a point, he said, I am persuaded that nothing. You know, I believe that word I am persuaded slipped out of his words. It's because he's making an argument about the law, about the grace of God, about what God did before the law came. Then he got to the finishing stage. You know, that was what he said before and after talking about Israel. He said, look, I am persuaded. See what I've said here. That not life, not death, not angels, not principal, nothing. That can you see what I put forward here? Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. No wonder they wanted to kill him. His arguments were too strong. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Where are we now? So. How did I get to all this? My mind is on so great salvation. Amen. So our fellowship is, our fellowship is with the Father, praise God. And also with one another. So just the same way that the moment we got into Christ and we have fellowship with God, every other person who receives the gospel like we do or like we did, we have fellowship with them. Or we ought to have fellowship with them. What does it mean? Every one of us who has come into the light of God in Christ Jesus, we now have a common identity. It's not our wealth, it's not our education, it's not our background or our height or size. We all found a commonness in the blood of Jesus Christ. You must realize that. When you come into the gospel by faith, you believe the gospel, you come into Christ by faith, you now share a commonness with everyone who has done the same. You don't retain the way you related with people before then. It has to change. The same way God's status has changed with you to a father, your relationship with Jesus also has changed. And therefore also, your relationship with everyone who has believed the gospel has to change. Are you there? Look at Acts 2. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. Acts 2:42. Look at this. They had just believed the gospel in 41. 41, Acts 2. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them. How many? 3,000 souls. Let's take verse 42 together. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Look at the word. Koinonia. Fellowship. What do you mean by fellowship? In other words, as people came into Christ, because all of us, according to verse 38 and 39, we have received the forgiveness of sins, at that moment, we became the same. No saint of God is classified differently from the other. Not according to your wealth, not according to your age. So the very same reason God gave his son to us, and we now have fellowship with him, the same reason all of us now have fellowship with one another. Are you out there? Pay attention. So look at verse 45 to 47. Verse 45 to 47. Okay, I'll start from 44. And all, let's take it together. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Now the word is koinos. Well, that's where you get the word koinonia from. They had all things together. Let's take 45 together. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all as every man had need. Let's take 46. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord had it to ensure daily as should be said. In other words, everyone started seeing each other has the same. So where you have a problem, it became mine. Where you have a need, it became mine. Why? Because we have all received forgiveness of sin. So we have fellowship. Or we ought to now have fellowship. Let me put it that way so that will be clear to us. That's why John would say, truly, our fellowship is with one another. It says that you may have, pardon me, 1 John 1:3, fellowship with us. So believers have been called on the fellowship. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son. Go to Romans 15. Before we go there, go to Acts 4 first. Acts 4, 32. Let's take Acts 4, 32 together. Come on, let's go. And the multitude of them that believe, Acts 4, 32, let's go. And the multitude of them that believe were of one heart and of one soul. Neither, okay, of things which he possessed was his own. They had all things, were, again what? Common. So they saw things as common. Why? Because they found themselves in the same family. So, write this down. Christianity is not a personal thing. Yeah, it's me and my God. It's me and my God. No. No. It's not personal. You are called onto fellowship with the church. The body of Christ. It's not personal. Let's see some other things now. Come on, quickly. Look at Galatians 2, 9. No, sorry. Romans 15, verse 29. When you see a believer who always acts alone, you are seeing a believer who is not growing spiritually. A believer must be found in the company of believers. Because that's the faith. You are called on the fellowship with other believers. And that's the reason, Romans 15, 26, that is the reason why we come into the services. We'll see that shortly. Romans 15, 26. For it had pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which were at Jerusalem. In other words, they gave to those of Jerusalem. Pay attention to this one. That is, Jerusalem had an economic recession. And they did not send CDs to them. How to overcome economic recession. You know, if we were today, the church in Asia would have called, in Rome, would have called for seed. When you sow a seed, nothing lives if nothing gives. They call for seed of those who did not have. Is it soil you want them to give you? Look at 27. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles had been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them carnal things. In other words, Paul is saying that when somebody shares the gospel to you, he is contributing to you. That's why he said, you minister back to their carnal things, just like ministers of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:11. What they do is that they contribute. The word koinonia, they contribute to you. They share. They share. Galatians 2:9. Are you out there? Galatians 2:9. This is Paul now. He says, I'll start from 8. I'll start from 7. And contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the uncircumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostle of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. Verse 9. And when James and Cephas, that's Peter, and John, who seemed to be the pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave unto me, and what? And Barnabas, the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto circumcision. The right hand of fellowship. In other words, they saw us as the same. So they accepted me as one of them. So, one of the reasons why we come to the service like this is for fellowship. We are all of the same Father. Our sins are washed by His blood. So we ought to have that kind of understanding. That when we come together like this, it is to demonstrate our fellowship with one another. Pay attention. So when you have fellowship, that means there is a sharing going on. And see, Romans 15:27, spiritual things are shared. And natural things are shared. Spiritual things are shared. Natural things are shared. In Acts 2:42, the apostles first of all shared the teaching. And then there was a sharing of natural things. Why was that done? Simply because we have fellowship with the Father. So, pay attention. In 2 Corinthians 8:14, the same word was used, and 2 Corinthians 9:13 is used for believers, contributing to other believers' needs. Why did he use the word fellowship? Why not give the word didomi? He used the word fellowship because that brother's need has become your own. So, he didn't use the natural word. The regular word for giving ought to have been didomi, to give. But he doesn't use that. He uses the word fellowship, which is to share. That is, what is yours is mine. And what is mine is yours. That is, there is an identification with the believers. Pay attention. Why is it so? Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Many of us think that when we say brother, it's like a title. Well, there are titles like that. Where you say brother, so, so, and so. I told you we have bro. Can you remember? Bro, bra. Blue. There are blue. Blue. Where you say bro. Ah! Those ones are deep. But the brew? Let's look for a brew here. Who has jeans? You have a brew? With this, your shoe. Brew! They have seas. They have stray. They have true. You know? Let me say it's true here. You are a true. See everything you put on your neck. Is this not a weight of glory? Are you still there? So, look at Hebrews 2. So when we say brother, when I say my brother, you know we are used with my brother, how are you? Like my townsman or my guy. My guy. Hebrews 2, verse 10. For it became him, let's take it together, Hebrews 2:10, let's go together. For it became him, about all things, in bringing what? Honor, glory, go on. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Can we take verse 11 together? Both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause is not ashamed to call them one. Now, when he says are all of one, the original Greek said all have one father. For which cause, that's why the next statement was for which cause is not ashamed to call them adelphos. When you use the word adelphos, it's A-D-E-L-P-H-O-S or A-P-H-U-S. The word delphos means womb. That is, we came from the same parents. So when you say brethren, is not for church membership. It actually means we share the same father. Are you there? We share the same father. Not naturally, but spiritually. Why? Our fellowship is with the Father. So you and I, we have fellowship with who? The Father. We share a common Father. Your father is not my father-in-law. You understand what I mean by that? We share a common father. Acts of the Apostles chapter 9. Something happening there. There was a man by the name of Ananias who saw Jesus in a vision. Acts 9. And then the Lord Jesus told him that, Ananias in verse 10, he says, "Behold, I am here, Lord." And then said, in verse 11, the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the street called Straight," which is called Straight, "inquire in the house of Judas for this, for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prays." Now listen carefully to Ananias' comment. And he had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard many things of what? This man." That's what he said. "How much evil he has done to what? Thy saints." Look at the description. "This man, thy saints. This man, thy saints." And here he had authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. So he said, "Thy saints, this man, okay, all that call on your name." Let's take verse 15 together. "And the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel." Now, okay, and I just went on. You know, that's what you call it. Go thy way. Like, keep quiet. What are you talking about? What's that for? You get it? It will amaze you that some people are saved you don't know. On the last day, only true, only two believers will. That's what he was saying. People should just be careful whether their name is in the book of life. And I asked him, "Is your name in the book of life?" Say, "Well, I'm trusting God." Say, "Get out of here. Your name is not there. You are preaching about it. Go and get your name in first. Then let's talk." So as he entered into the house, look at verse 17. Ananias went into the house and entered into the house, and put his hands on him. He said, "Brother Saul," straight away. But he changed it. "Brother Saul." Hallelujah. Because since Jesus spoke, you became from the same family. We share one another. We share the Lord. We share the Father. We share forgiveness of sins. Is that not true? Is there anyone here who doesn't have the forgiveness of sins the other person has, so that we can pray for you? We all have the same forgiveness of sins. So we have fellowship one to another. Look at how Peter puts it, 2 Peter 1. Are you out there? 2 Peter 1. So when you use the word koinonia, it's from the word koinonios, don't forget, which is common. Common. What belongs to everybody. What belongs to everybody is called fellowship. So God's forgiveness of sins is fellowship. Is that very clear? For our sins and for the whole world. So when a man believes the gospel, what has he done? He has accepted God's fellowship. Is that clear? Alright, very good. He says with his mouth that Jesus Christ has forgiven sins and cleansed us from all unrighteousness. He gets into that. He receives that fellowship by faith. Does it make sense? Alright, good. So it's open the word now. Okay, 2 Peter 1. Alright, good. Verse 1. Sorry, chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. Now, Peter was talking about love and how we conduct ourselves among the brethren, most importantly. Then it says in verse 8, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you can never be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's take verse 9 together. He that lacks these things is blind and cannot see far off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So that means when we act differently from the brethren, and we treat them low, like many of us do, Peter says the problem is you have forgotten. You have memory loss. That you were purged of your own sins. You can't see. He said, wherefore, rather, pay attention now, brethren, give diligence. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall not fail. Praise the Lord. So, we're going to see shortly the reason why believers treat other believers wrongly is that they can't see. Praise the Lord. They can't see. So, the first thing about you and somebody who has believed the gospel is that you are now what? Brethren. No, he is not a brethren. No. That's a, call that brethren for me. That's too much for one person. So you have the same father. Praise the Lord. Is that clear? Is that very clear? You have the same father. In Christ. So we have fellowship. We must recognize that. It doesn't matter what kind of background you come from. You can be rich, you can be poor. You can see that in Acts 2, there was no businessman fellowship. You know what I'm talking about? Then they say, well, high flyers fellowship. They say, high flyers fellowship. None. I once pastored a church like that. Not this one, never. And they had businessmen fellowship. They had a name they called it. I've forgotten the name they called it. I dissolved it immediately. You came to church to do business, man? I said, no. Well, your sins not forgiving? You are just a forgiving businessman. Hallelujah. They shared all things in common. That's the church. So let's go further. Is that clear? So God offers his son and brings us into commonness with him. Look at 2 Corinthians 6. So we have fellowship. What is our fellowship with one another? What is it? Jesus Christ. Right? So our fellowship with one another is what? Jesus Christ. We don't say, we begin to look at ourselves. Where do you live? No. That's not our fellowship. Our fellowship is already settled in Christ. What Christ has done is our fellowship. And that's our commonness. I say it like this. At the fruit of the cross of Jesus Christ, where all sins were born, all of us are the same. No matter what you have been before now, we're all the same. You must recognize that. And that's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, pay very good attention. Are you there? Alright. Verse 14. Let's go. Be ye not unequally yoked together with what? Alright. So who are unbelievers? Let's settle it first. Unbelievers are unbelievers. That needs no explanation. Someone who has not believed the gospel, right? His name can be Paul. His name can even be Christian. Okay. So it says, be not unequally yoked together. The word unequally yoked is one word. Is the word heterozuguo. Heterozuguo. It means that, now of course you know the word heteros means different. So the unbeliever and you are what? Different. You may have the same qualification. You may live in the same area. You may work in the same office. You may even be in the same family. That is, when I say family, you know what I mean. You were born by the same earthly parents. But if that fellow hasn't received the gospel, he is or she is an unequal yoke. Look at the word yoke. I'll just give you the verses. Matthew 11:29. Matthew 11:30. Now the word yoke is used for something you learn, something you do, or something you carry. Something you learn, something you do, something you carry. Pay attention, please. The word yoke. You see it in Acts 15:10. You know, put the yoke on the brethren, which our fathers were not able to bear. Acts 15:10. Galatians 5:1. Stand in liberty, wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. 1 Timothy 6:1. Now, when you say heterozugo, pay attention now. It means that when you have an equal yoke, is you have two things of different weights. Alright? And then they are trying to yoke themselves together. They are not the same. So what will happen is you are going to have an imbalance. So your relationship with an unsaved person affects you. And Paul says, there must not be, you must not be unequally yoked. Now he's not saying you can't have them in your family. That's not what he's saying. Neither is he talking about you can't do business with them. No. But you cannot, listen carefully, you cannot have an intimate, confidential relationship with an unsaved person. It will affect your Christian life. It will. Now, don't forget, it doesn't mean you can't do business together. It doesn't mean that when you see a lecturer in your school with an unsaved person, no, I cannot have an equal yoke, so you go to a Bible school. No, that's not what he's saying. He's referring to a confidential relationship. Because he says unequal yoke. So that you are in a confidential, intimate relationship. That already rules out marrying an unsaved person. Or going out or going in. So, well, I just want to... Someone told me, say, well, I think he's a nice guy. You know... So that's good. I never knew that was the fruit of the Spirit. He's a nice guy. Oh, good. I believe that by the time we roll together, he will be saved. So you are the Spirit of Truth. Cry for yourself. No. You cannot have an unequal yoke with an unbeliever. An unsaved person can be your best friend. See, but we have been like that since the womb. No, you are now in Christ. Hallelujah. An unsaved person cannot be your closest pal. No. And you see the reason shortly. Now, an unsaved person can teach me in school, in the university. An unsaved person can teach me business. Is that clear? But an unsaved person cannot be my confidant. No, can be. Look at what Paul says. You can be unequally yoked together with someone who has not believed the gospel. So, does it mean that I need to ask people whether they believe the gospel? Yes. Do you believe the gospel? What's that? Jesus died for our sins. Oh, that story. Well, it's just one Jesus here that I say, I go to church, you know, I try to be good, you know, but that Jesus stopped. Say, okay, no, let's leave that aside, but you're my body for life. Are you okay? Look at the next statement. For what? Pay attention now. What fellowship and righteousness with unrighteousness? See that? The word fellowship there is the word partnership. What partnership? So he explains it. Metoche in the Greek. M-E-T-O-C-H-E. What partnership? What are you talking about? Oh, well, we just talk 4 hours a day. We just talk. Something's wrong with you. It says, pay attention now. What is this person partnering with you for? The next statement, it says, what communion? That's the word fellowship. Koinonia. In other words, what do you have in common? What is he or she contributing to your life? Darkness? No. I remember this, I carefully say this, but I'd say it one way or the other. My dad used to be my hero. Somewhat he still is, somewhere in my mind. I saw him as right in everything he did. He was so perfect. And they used to call him Mr. Integrity. So perfect. Very perfect man in my eyes. So he told me, he said, never join born again people. That's what he told me. And I believed him. He was the apostle over my life. He said, never join born again people. He said, they are all fanatics. He said, there's nothing like that in the Bible. Then he told me, he said, you only need two things in your life. Three things, actually. Two, really, said two, but then three, it became three. One, love God. I didn't know what it meant. Then he said, don't lie, don't steal, which involved him. You realize that? An African parenting 101. And love your neighbor as yourself. So with that, you enter heaven. He didn't even tell me what heaven was. So I believed my father. So I took his word serious. Till I heard the gospel. He told me, always lead to God. Anybody, so you don't have to go to church to know God. And his father was a prophet. Serious matter. So when I heard the gospel, and I found out my father was wrong. I told myself, if he can be wrong on salvation, he can be wrong on any other thing. Yeah. No offenses intended. And so it was. So I was now the one, after years of battle, who led him to Christ. Eventually. But he was wrong. And so he stopped being my model. I stopped it. What I say now, what I'm saying now, may look strange to some of you, but when I got saved, the testimonies we used to share in the fellowship was persecution. It's not, praise the Lord! My cat is alive. Hallelujah! I tell my car is the money, it did not start. But I just poured the oil on it. You. Praise the Lord! I got my visa! You know? No, it was hallelujah. I'm standing strong. You know, we say that, brother, I'm standing with you. That was the testimony. I led him to the Lord. And I was responsible for how every member of my family received Christ. But it started by breaking an emotional alliance. That no, if this man is wrong about eternity, he can be wrong on any other thing. And I found out that he was confused. He would take us to different people to go and serve the Lord and all that. You know, so this man is confused. Paul says, what fellowship are light with darkness? Don't get emotional. A son of the devil is a son of the devil. John 8:44. There's nothing to be emotional about. You must never get emotional to walk outside the word of God. Look at the next thing he says. Are you out there? And what communion light with darkness? What concord Christ with Belial? He calls the unbeliever Belial. So this is not right. How can Paul be abusing people? He's not abusing them, he's describing them. What part he that believes with an infidel? Verse 16. And what agreement the temple of God with what? Idols. Say, I am the righteousness of God. I am light. Glory to God. I am Christ. I am the temple of God. I am a believer. Now, in the same breath, say the unbeliever is darkness. Very good. It's confession. The unbeliever is unrighteousness. The unbeliever is a temple of idols. Say that one again. Say the unbeliever is Belial. So there can be marriage, right? There can be marriage. Say, but he fears God. Demons also fear and tremble. He fears God. He's a God-fearing young man. God-fearing woman. Let him not fear God. Let him believe his son. Praise God. Let him believe the son. You cannot love God and don't love his son. So, we need to realize that therefore, now the next thing is he talks about concord. The word concord also means agreement. So let's move quickly. So, the first thing about fellowship is that you must recognize who you are. And recognize that anyone who has not believed the gospel is exactly what the Bible calls him or her. Recognize who you are. Without that recognition, you cannot understand our fellowship. Many believers have identity crisis. The moment they are with unbelievers like this, they just lose their minds. They talk the same way. They act the same way, even though they are born again. Hallelujah. Are you there? So, here's Paul. I remember one sermon I preached years ago. I won't talk about it. Let me say it. When I used to preach potentials. Yeah, I think I preached before. I said, you are the salt of the earth. I'll give you one rhema now. That when you put salt into water, you cannot find the difference. When you are in the world, you won't know the difference. But you are changing the world. Go into the world. Let me leave the rest. My sins are forgiven. Are you out there? Come on. So there is no meeting point. There is no meeting ground. Our fellowship is with the Father. And with one another. An unbeliever cannot contribute to my walk with God. An unbeliever cannot contribute to my spiritual progress. An unbeliever therefore cannot contribute to my conduct. He doesn't even have what to give. So, my fellowship must be found amongst who? Believers. What I receive from and what I give must be found with believers. So, the first thing we said, you must recognize that every believer in Christ is your brother, or let's put it like this, your brother or sister. James chapter 2. irrespective of what they have or don't have. You know, some of us will get to a place like this and then they don't speak good English. Just look at them. You think Christianity is for English speaking people. And the guy now releases one scored missile. I had one thing to call you. Just go. Yeah. You know? No. As bad as that sounds, you have fellowship with one another. Stay with the fellowship. Look at James 2. Come on, are you there? So tell your neighbor, say, we have things in common. Look behind you. Maybe the person behind you is your friend. Look behind you. We have things in common. We have Christ in common. And that's the most important thing to have in common. Not money. Not wealth. Not age. Not experience. The most important thing to have in common is Christ Jesus. So we share an inheritance and a family together. Talk with the person for 1 minute. Anything. Somebody you don't know. Is that okay? Now let me ask you a question. When you see believers anywhere in the world, can you start a discussion with them? I just see them. Sometimes I go to a country, I don't know many people. I just ask them, where is the church around here? I know that. In fact, there was a time I went for a business trip, and the person that was a believer was like the steward of my host, and that became my best friend. He was more important to me than my host, who was a Muslim. The minute I don't recognize that, I have not grown spiritually. You have to recognize that. I should be able to start it. The reason why many of us can't start discussion with believers is because we are not believers in our daily walk. Guys say, how are you? Oh, are you a Christian? I'm a Christian. Oh, how are you? The next is, which church do you attend? Why? Oh, that's a great church. What do you guys mean? So, well, what have I said now that you're laughing? I don't do like this. So, where is the church? Well, when you pass, and you pass, where are you going? And you pass, you take a canoe. Bless you. Have a nice flight. Or have a nice trip that you're going. Well, guys, I leave. And so, great, you've been to talk. Because you are carnal. What about, wow, great. When did you receive the Lord? 6 years ago. Come on, share your experience with me. And I share mine. That is Christianity. Hallelujah. Back then, we used to share our salvation experience with one another. How's it been? How's your study life? How's your prayer life? Say, wow, how's your spiritual life? Now it's, how are you doing now? You're looking good, man. Where have you been, man? Wow, is that all right? Oh, God is good. Great God. You know, man, God is good, man. Now we'll be like you, man. What a shame. What a shame. What a shame. Are you married now? Hello, man. What's up now? Go settle down. What about sharing about Christ? Believers can't sit down and talk about Jesus. What has happened? But they will still don't believe us. And they will get and say, they will get there and say, any more gist? This is finished. Let's look for more gist. It's because your Christian life is not growing. Praise the Lord. Are you there? Very good. James 2. Let's go to verse 1. My brethren, help not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Are you there? For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring, that means that gold ring is not bad. Can you see it? And goodly apparel. Then there's nothing, there's no Bible for wearing a ring as a married man. You don't know. It's somewhere in Zephaniah 26 verse 4. And there come in also a poor man in vile raiment. You have lovely designers, and a guy comes in. He was designed. And he comes in. And then you look at, oh, I'm talking to you ushers. They say, you begin to smell the perfume from the gate. The guy comes in. There's something that when they shake your hand, the perfume will stay for 7 days. If you like, go to Jordan and wash it. And they shake your hand. You say, welcome, sir. We have been waiting for you. You see the car. The size of the car can buy your church beauty. You say, you're welcome, sir. I'll tell pastor you're around. Then someone comes in. You say, hey, wait. Where's your Bible? I hope that doesn't happen here, right? By acting like that, you don't know the faith. You don't know the faith. You know, we read it in the book of Revelation that those who say, I am rich, I have nothing. Jesus said, you are miserable. You are miserable. You are poor and you are miserable. Anyone who puts his hope on material things is a fool. Is a fool. You are miserable. Paul says, if only in this life we have hope, we have all men what? Miserable. There's nobody whose PhD is forever. It will leave. His PhD will be here. There's no house that was built, that you can find, that was built from the Garden of Eden. Where is Solomon's temple? Have you seen it? All the gold he had, where are they? The most precious thing on earth is our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you out there? So where we see ourselves, let us know what we have in common. What we have in common is not us now, though that has an exception. Why did you laugh? Of course, we can't have Chelsea in common. That's very clear. Neither can we have Red Devils in common. But seriously speaking, what we have in common is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you meet believers anywhere in the world, even if they wear white garments, people wearing white garments doesn't mean they are not saved. People wearing suits does not mean they are saved. I've seen people in white garment churches who are born again. And I've seen those in suit wearing churches that are just near salvation. So when someone says, I have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone was chatting with me a couple of days ago. In fact, that day I chatted with an atheist. And he got born again. Praise the Lord. And a Muslim. He said, I want to be saved. In fact, if you have seen my wall, someone said, I want to be born again. So I asked him, do you believe in the Lord? He said, I do. He said, I believe he died for my sins. I said, you are saved. He said, I am saved. He said, yeah. He said, you? He said, I do. I've always believed that. He said, but they told me in the church I needed to be sanctified and they delivered. I said, they are lying to you. You have been saved since. He said, sir. He said, thank you very much, sir. You have been saved. You are my brother. And I'm also your brother. Praise God. We have fellowship. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Philemon 6, we'll close on that one. That the communication of your faith, are you out there? You learning something? Philemon 6. How do you treat believers in your office? How do you treat them on your campus? How do you treat them in your family? You mean somebody is a believer in your family, amongst other folks in your immediate family, you treat the person differently. Are you out there? Are you following what I'm saying? Very good. Philemon 6. Now let's from verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. Philemon 6. I'm back from verse 4. Hearing of thy love and faith, which you have towards what? And what? All saints. All kind of saints. Rich, poor, educated, uneducated, amen. Those who have never seen a passport before, let's even have one. Someone was going to travel one day, to Abuja and told me, sir, I've not collected a visa. I said, eh? It happens. So, you know, I said, ah, there are those who have never seen, some have seen airports on excursion. Some have traveled out to Benin Republic. But see, it doesn't make any difference. What we share together is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the lesser I'm able to relate with my background, my wealth, my intellect, my educational background, with a fellow believer, the more I'm growing spiritually. The lesser I use it to relate with other believers, then the more I am growing spiritually. Am I making any sense here? So Paul prayed for our faith. Then verse 6, that the communication of your faith may become what? Now the word there is again fellowship. The koinonia of your faith may become effectual by what? Acknowledging every good thing which is in you, where? Which is in Christ Jesus. So the way for you to share your faith, to fellowship your faith, is acknowledging every good thing, which is where? In you. Which is where? In Christ. That shows you something. That what you have to offer is in Christ Jesus. So the moment you don't recognize it, you cannot share your faith. No. You know, some people say, oh, no. No, in the church, oh, yeah, I can't take that nonsense. I can't take it. I can never take it. What else of me in my family? They know me. I'm a choleric. I'm a sandy. I'm a mechanic, sorry, melancholy. I'm a phlegmatic. That one has not acknowledged who he is. In Christ Jesus. He's acting drama. I'm a choleric. I can't take it. No. There are things you have in Christ Jesus. Alright? So when we come together, we share those things. Down in our hearts is the nature of the Father. We have love in our hearts. We have peace in our hearts. Say, I have patience in my heart. I have kindness in my heart. Glory to God. I have long suffering in my heart. Those are the good things I have where? In Christ. So I recognize I have them. And then the sharing of my faith becomes effective amongst believers. So when you see a believer who cannot relate with believers for long, it's because he has not recognized who he is. He has an identity crisis. He thinks he's still in the world. He's more comfortable with unbelievers than believers because he has an identity crisis. I know who I am in Christ Jesus. I know who I am in Christ Jesus. And I walk in the light of it. I close on that. Philippians 2. Are you learning something from that? So we have fellowship one with another. So if you want your fellowship with another believer to be effective, you primarily recognize who you are in Christ and what you have. Look at Philippians 2. Hallelujah. Verse 1. If there be any, therefore, any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, Paul says, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let's take verse 3 together. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Are you there? Look at verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also where? In Christ Jesus. So we esteem the other person above ourselves. That is the fellowship of the Spirit. We share that commonness we have in Christ. We don't treat people low. We don't talk to them in a low form.
You know, there's a way you see an influential person, say, ah, good morning, sir. How are you, sir? Unbeliever. Oh, yes, sir. Oh, sir.
They see a Christian.
Whose shoes are navigating the earth? She say, hello. I say, bless you. Hallelujah. I want to shake you, sir. Amen. They see the unbeliever. What a shame on you. You have an identity crisis. That believer is you. You just denied yourself. That's what you did. You denied yourself. You are ashamed of our family. When Jesus appeared to Saul of Tarsus in Acts 8, and the lights fell on him, says Saul, Saul, why do you kick against the priests? Why do you persecute me? And Saul cried out. He couldn't see the person. He said, who are you, sir? He just said, one of the most remarkable statements I've read in the book of Acts. I am Jesus, whom you persecute. Jesus and his church are the same. Whatever you do to one child of God, you have done to Jesus. Whatever you say, whatever way you treated a member of the body of Christ, you have done it to the body, you have done it to the head, you have done it to the Father. We have fellowship one with another. No one has asked you to be doing NGO. What do you do NGO? Say, well, I have a calling. When they go on the streets, they go and be giving people clothes and Indomie noodles. And there will be people, born again folks, who are in their churches, who are just around them. You say, brother, stand in the word. Stand in the word. You don't understand the covenant wealth of prosperity. Three people talk like that. Preachers who have taken advantage of their church members. Believers who, by the virtue of life and circumstances, have favored them. We are not all born the same way. I believe I'm privileged. They sent me to school. I've never been chased out of school for school fees. But I've seen many who could not go to school. They are not any less than I am. We have a third category. They work hard, just like the rich fool in Luke 12, and they act it out. So, see what we have made. The day you leave the earth, take it with you, idiots. Brother Hagin says that one of the qualities of a mature Christian is that, a prosperous Christian, is that he esteems everything lightly. When some believers, they don't see a Christian in church. They say, I've not seen that brother in church in a while. I hope he's fine. All is well with him, sir. If they can't find their phone, I can't find my phone. I don't know. I've not seen it since. I put his head like 5 minutes ago. I can't see it. So, please, let's see. I can't see it now. I'm going to call. And somebody has not been to church, you've not bothered to find out. What a shame. Listen to me. No one has. There's nothing wrong with doing NGO and giving out shirts and toothpaste and toothpick all over the streets. But your first priority is the church. Galatians 6:10. Do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. Check your Bible. Check Acts of the Apostles. Check the book of Romans. Check Galatians, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. The contributions to the poor was for the believers. Let me show you one thing, Acts 11, then we close finally. Are you there? So I have a responsibility to share with other believers. Acts 11, look at this. Verse 27, in those days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. Verse 28, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great death throughout all the world. That is, there will be a drought, a recession, an economic recession, which came to pass in the days of Pontius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man, according to his ability, there was no tithe, or first fruit or first tree, according to his ability, determined to send relief unto who? Unto everybody in Jerusalem?
No.
Unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Yes, there was need all over Jerusalem and Judea, but the focus of the church was on the church. Let's treat brethren well. Let's show care and concern, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ. Until you know who you are, you will not know who that believer is. Until you recognize what you have in Christ, you will not see who that believer is. Let us realize, as we have fellowship with the Father, we also have fellowship one with another. Is that clear? Amen. Share with your neighbor what you just learned quickly, a few minutes with us.